probably a very familiar passage today, this morning. It's the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, we'll be reading from verses 1 through 15. And it reads, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and it choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded crops 100 times more than was sown. And he said this, and he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him, what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who have received the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the times of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked with life worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we again, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Father, we just pray, Lord, as your word go forth, that it would not return to you void. Father, thank you for your word, your living word. Thank you for your seed in which you continue to plant and just bring to maturity in our own hearts, in our own lives. Just pray that you would be glorified as we continue to worship here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so if you've been with us, you know that we're again going through the book of Luke. And if you have your Bibles, you look at the last verse in chapter 7. It is where we will begin this morning. Luke, if you will, continues this message about faith. At the end of chapter 7, we hear the words of Christ to a sinful woman saying, "Your faith have saved you. Go in peace." And in the previous story of the sinful woman, it shows that Jesus has the power to forgive sins, which is only capable by God. And if you remember early in Luke, one of the things we saw is that during the time of Jesus' ministry, one of the things that the Pharisees criticized Jesus about was this very thing, and that Jesus was a person who spoke blasphemy. And they questioned him. And during that time, they said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And again, we see the same question appear at the latter part of chapter 7, where they say, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And probably for us this morning, thankfully we have God's word before us. It seems obvious to who Jesus is. But to many people during this time, they did not know him. They did not recognize who Jesus was. And although his miracles and his preaching clearly spoke to and pointed to who he was, people still did not recognize who he was. And as we begin in chapter 8, we are told that Jesus is traveling through villages and towns. And one of the things we see Jesus doing is he's preaching and he's proclaiming the kingdom of God. And he brings forth glad tidings of the kingdom. And if we remember, again, this very message in which Jesus is, that we see in the opening of chapter 8, is one of the reasons why Jesus is even sent from God. And Jesus says, I must continue to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because this is the reason why I was sent. And that's found in Luke 4:43. And if we accept that truth, that Jesus has been sent from God, and Jesus is the one who comes and bring us this good news, we must ask ourselves, what is this message that Jesus is bringing forth? What is this good news that Jesus is trying to tell those who are listening to him, and even telling us today? What is Jesus' message of this kingdom of God? And one of the ways we can look at Jesus' message is, his message simply is, he wants his hearers to know that God loves them. He wants his hearers to know that God's love is brought forth through him. But of course, many people at this time do not recognize it. And I even think that that's a message for us even today, is that we must remember that Jesus came to show forth God's love, that he was God in flesh, that he was the perfect expression of who God was. And he came to show forth God's love. So regardless of how you came into church today or wherever you might find yourself, that message might be simply just for you, is to know that God loves you. And so oftentimes we can lose sight on that God loves us despite whatever it is that we have done. And he wants us here to know. And of course, we know that through hearing God's word, repenting and believing in Jesus and turning away from our wicked ways and turning to God, that God has blessed us with this, the divine opportunity to have a relationship and to unite ourselves with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see that as Jesus is continuing to proclaim the kingdom of the good news, as he continues to proclaim the kingdom of God, we see Jesus is not alone. We see that Jesus is surrounded by his disciples, the 12 disciples. Early in Luke, all the disciples were not with Jesus at every point of the way. But here, the whole entire 12 disciples are here. And we also see something that Luke points out that not many other Gospels point out, is that he is surrounded by what I like to call an entourage of women. And these women are not fans of Jesus, but they are lovers of Jesus. They have, at this point we see that they willfully give to Jesus out of their means. So one of the questions is, you might say, is, so how did Jesus and his disciples often, how was Jesus' needs and his disciples' needs often met? It can be obvious and say that Jesus had the power to create and fulfill his needs each and every day. But Luke answers that question. He says no. One of the things Luke shows us is that out of these women's a willful heart, these women provide for Jesus and his disciples' means. So we see even that in this, these verses is that Jesus' needs and his disciples' needs are fulfilled by women being willing to give out of their means. And we also see that these women have come to Jesus and continue to follow Jesus, especially after Jesus has healed them. We even see that in one story, Mary's story, that Jesus delivered her from seven demons. And even in this these verses, we do have a different social class of woman. We even have one woman who is from the house of Herod. And of course, this woman would have probably inherited or had a lot of means at this point, taking part in her life. But the message here is that these women were willing to give out of their heart and serve God and continue to uphold God's kingdom. And two things we probably see within these verses is that despite the opposition that he is facing, despite the opposition that Jesus is facing, Jesus continues to preach. For he knows what he is destined to do. And without wavering in his faith, Jesus continues to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And we also see that, again, the 12 disciples, including the woman, have entrusted themselves to Jesus, that each and every day they have chosen to follow after the Lord and give to him. I don't know if you ever noticed, but one of the things I noticed as just reading through the Gospels is the faith of women. And not oftentimes do we take the time to reflect or ponder on how God utilized women. Even in this point, at this particular point in Jesus' ministry, such people as Luke would have probably not even made such things known. But it's amazing how a lot of Luke's gospel is focused on the faith of women and how they continue to minister to Jesus despite everything that was going on during this time. And it's amazing that you probably even notice that not often do you see women are in opposition of Jesus. Usually the opposition is men. And this is not to separate man and woman and say women have more faith. But it's amazing that you see that women are never in opposition to Jesus. And when they choose to follow him, I mean, you see women giving themselves in a miraculous way because of what they have experienced by their relationship with the Lord. So it's amazing. And I know many of us probably have been blessed because of the faith of a woman and just how God uses a woman even at this time when not many people would even make known what it is that God is doing through them. It also can appear to us that the journey with Jesus is somehow just exciting or interesting, that these women are following Jesus and they're experiencing no hardship or no discomfort. But we know that during our journey with Jesus and our walk with Jesus, there is times of trials, there is times of tribulations. And one of the things is Jesus has faced many trials and tribulations up to this point in his ministry. So that as Jesus is enduring these trials and these tribulations, also these women are experiencing these trials and tribulations and his disciples as well. And if you would fast forward, you would notice that some of these women were at the very place where Jesus was crucified. Especially we know that Mary Magdalene was there. She was at the foot of the cross where Jesus was crucified. And when you think about that, that requires much faith to continue to follow someone even in the midst of such thing as crucifixion. And they followed Jesus each and every step of the way. Their faith and Jesus did not waver regardless of what it is that they experienced. And sometimes Jesus, we see, and we're faced with people that did not believe. And that's a huge part of our story today. And he dealt with much corruption during his time. And despite everything that Jesus went through, one of the things that we continue to see is that these women and his disciples devoted themselves to Jesus. And if we look at verse 4, we begin to see Jesus begins to speak in parables. And Verses 4 and 8, we see that the parable is given. Jesus basically gives the parable, says the parable, and then verses 9 through 10, we get the reason for the parable. And verses 11 through 15, we get the interpretation of the parable. Matthew Gospel, one of the things Matthew makes known about parable is that Jesus gives parable, or he speaks parables for to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament. So we probably look and say, so why is Jesus speaking in parables? What is the purpose of parables? One of the things Matthew again makes known is that it's to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. One of the things we see in the Old Testament, it says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundations of the world. In parable, the word parable basically means that which is tossed alongside, implying a comparison or analogy or an elaboration or an illustration. It's usually a story that has a deeper meaning or has many meanings, not just one meaning, but it has deeper meanings. And sometimes parables are not understood. They're not simple, very difficult. And if it wasn't for the disciples asking Jesus the meaning of the parable, we probably wouldn't have the full understanding of what this parable means. And the parables sometimes are just left up to interpretation from the hearer, the person who is listening. And then you might say, who is the sower? Who is the one who is sowing the seeds? In this particular story, of course, Jesus is the one. He's the sower. He's the one who has been sent into the world to sow good seed. And sometimes the sower is the ones who God sends. So in the Old Testament, it would have been the prophets. It would have been the mostly the prophets and his people who would have brought God's news to the people and sown seeds. And I even think today, one of the ways God's words goes forth is through his church and through us, that we are now becoming people who bear witness to God's message. And then you might say, what is the seed? The seed, as shown in the scriptures, the seed is God's message, and seed is God's message in his gospel. What is the soil? The four kinds of are pictured, four kinds of the human hearts. So the soil is the heart in which Jesus is describing. The first soil we see is those in whom God's message never sticks. So as we see, it talks about how the sower sows the seed, and basically the birds of the air comes up and snatch it and devour it. The second heart are those who are temporarily influenced, those who probably hear the word, but it really has no root. It's what you might call a shallow faith. The third one we see is those who are preoccupied, meaning that their focus is not on the kingdom of God. It's almost as a split faith. They're focusing on God, but they're also focused on the cares and the pleasures of this world. And we'll talk about that more. The fourth soil, which Jesus explains, is those who have a good and honest heart, those who have faith in God's word and continue to follow in God's ways. If we look at Luke 5 shows us the heart that is never impressed. This is the person who is neither attracted nor terrified. As they come each and every Sunday, you might say, and hear God's word, it really takes no root in their life. So they would come, it would be a person like come inside the church, hear God's word, and leave, and it has no meaning. They really can care less of God's word. And that's the heart that Jesus is describing in Luke 5. They might even listen. But really, they are deceived simply because their seed is trampled over by the birds of the air and devoured. And again, there is no root. There is no way. Then Luke 6 shows us the heart that is shallow. And these are those who are eager to learn. You might even say they have a shallow soul. their feelings or emotions are touched, but their heart is not affected. So it would be those who would come and hear God's word and receive it with joy and gladness, but again, it has no root. It has no effect on their life. They receive it with gladness, but really they leave, and God's word really, again, takes no meaning or takes no purpose in their life. So you might even say that person has an outward expression of a Christian, but really, inwardly, the expression is incongruent with their outer expression. Those who praise Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, but really, inwardly, their heart is very far from who God is. Luke 7 shows us a different type of heart. It shows us that's the heart that is preoccupied. And these are those who are being pulled basically from two different directions. The cares of this world, the riches, the pleasures of this world are pulling at their heart. You might even say that those people are confused. They fail to realize that Jesus has the power to forgive, to fulfill every need. Thus, they seek other resources and other things of this world to fulfill their need. And sadly, one of the things we see about their heart in Luke 7 is their roots don't go deep by any means. They look, these are those who probably look to be favored by God, who looks as if God is with them, that God is providing for them. But really, all of that is basically temporary. So they have temporary satisfaction of what it is that God is doing in their life. So it seems that this person is really enjoying life and having a good time and just enjoying, but really, the word of God takes no root even in their life as well. Luke 8 talks about the heart that is good. And this is a heart that is prepared. And these are those who has an earnest and diligent heart for God. Such as you might say for the women who are following Jesus. Out of their heart, they're giving with gratitude. They're giving because they have realized what it is that God has done for them, but they're also realizing who it is that they're following. And we see that those who have a good heart, a genuine heart, are those who spring forth and yield much crops. And at the end of verse 8, we hear Jesus saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," which is a statement that simply implies that what Jesus is saying is really worth listening to. In the other Synoptic Gospels, right before Jesus gives this parable, he says, "Listen." And one of the things we see is that even when God, the Father from heaven, declares Jesus, he tells the people, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he says, "Listen to him." So everything that Jesus has to say, his living word, the Bible that we have today, is very important. And he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He doesn't force his preaching on his hearers or try to use persuasive words in order for his listeners to come to him, but he's given them the opportunity, the invitation to accept who he is and hopefully cause them to want to seek him even more. And we see in chapter in Luke 9, we have the purpose of the parable. Luke 9, verses 9 and 10, we have the purpose of the parable. In these two verses, we see something very remarkable. Disciples basically ask Jesus, "What does this parable mean?" They seek Jesus for advice, for understanding of the things that they do not understand. And indeed, they look to the one who can provide the answer. They don't look to the multitude. They don't look to anyone else, but they look to the source who can provide them what it is that their heart is longing for. So like the disciples and the multitude, they all have heard the parables. Jesus spoke this parable plainly to everyone who was listening, but only one group, the disciples, were seeking Jesus to know the meaning of this. So it's as if people would come, hear the word, and not have an understanding, and instead of being willing seek understanding, they just leave as if they have understanding, but they don't. But we see one of the things that the disciples is teaching us is that how we ought to see God even when we don't have the answer or things just don't make sense. Because there's many things in our life that just don't make sense. We experience many trials, we experience many tribulations, and such things in life just don't make sense. And so oftentimes you hear people say, hey, if God is good and if God is just, God is merciful, why are these things happening? I mean, we sit here today and we celebrate September the 11th, and there's many people, even in our country today, who are wondering, why would God allow such things to happen? It does not make sense. And one of the things I believe the disciples are teaching us is that we ought to see God for those answers. And even in those situations where we don't understand, Lord, make this make sense. It does not make sense. Why am I going through what I'm going through? I've experienced much trials and tribulations in my own life, and I'm sure you all have. And just the experience of losing the father to cancer at one point, it just didn't make sense. And my prayer simply was, Lord, make this make sense. Whenever it is for God to make himself known to us, he will. He's faithful and he's just to do so. And a lot of things, again, we're required to continue to see God when we don't have understanding. I mean, even in our own midst, I mean, we have people who are, I mean, hurting. And I mean, the hard thing is when you don't even have words to say to them. Because such things don't make sense. And we're required to continue to have faith and continue to trust and seek God. And this is what we see. We see the disciples. We see Jesus even in his own life, embodying and being that example for us to continue to see God even when things just don't seem right, don't seem fair, don't seem just. And I wonder just how often we go through life without understanding. And even in those situations, we refuse to see God for answers. One of the things we see Jesus does is he draws their attention back to Isaiah. I mean, this is a very difficult time in which God is calling Isaiah to proclaim his word. He's commissioned Isaiah to go prophesy his word to a people, to a disobedient people, to a people God knows has hardened their hearts against God. And Isaiah is called to proclaim what it is that God has called Isaiah to do. And we might even look at Jesus' life and his ministry. Jesus is called to do a very similar thing. He's called to go preach and witness to a people who can care less, to a people who have already turned their hearts towards God, a people who can refused to accept the salvation that God was bringing through Jesus Christ. And he's called to continue to preach God's word. And we look at Jesus' ministry and we think that even the Son of Man didn't have to go through difficult times. But he's called to preach and preach and preach regardless if the people hear or not. And one of the things Isaiah says in chapter 6, if you look there, he says, how long, Lord?
how long would you call me to preach to a people who care to listen to what it is that you have to say? I mean, this is a difficult thing that Isaiah has to do, and he's called to do it. And he does it, and we see Jesus Christ is doing the same thing even to the people of God at this time. And one of the questions is why are some people able to hear God's word and others are not? What is it that, why is it that God grant other people opportunities to hear God's word clearly, but some, they don't have the ear or the eyes to see who God is? I don't know the answer to that question. We don't know. And as we continue to Luke 11, verses 11 through 15, we see the parable being explained. We see that the seed is the word of God. And one important thing that we must mention about the seed is that the seed is good. The word of God is good. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the word that we have. It's the soil that's the problem. So as God is calling Jesus to continue to preach, it's the people heart who are hardened to hear God's word. Jesus is, if he's the soil, the sower, he's good. His seed is good. It's the soil that we see is the problem in Luke chapter 8. The first soil we see that is being explained is in Luke 8, verses 12. And he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, the first thing we see is that these people have heard the word. Like the other four soils, they all heard the word. But the problem is that they have allowed the hardening of their hearts and the devil to basically come and snatch away the word from their hearts. One of the stories this brings my attention back to is, here it is that we have Adam and Eve in Genesis. And God has instructed them and he's given them what they ought to do and how they ought to continue to obey him and obey his word. He's given them his word. He's given them instructions on what it is that they need to do. And quickly we see that the serpent comes and it snatches away the word that was sown into their heart. One of the things that it's important to know is that the enemy, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. He comes to steal the word of God that has been sown into our hearts. So on Sundays, Fridays, Wednesdays, whenever your devotional times, you have to be mindful that the enemy is indeed ready and prepared to come steal that which has been sown into your heart. He's coming to kill the hope that we have in Christ. And then we see the reason why, the devil chooses to snatch away God's word from us. And his whole sole purpose is that he knows that if they hear the word and take the word and allow the word to take root into their life, they're going to be saved and they're going to be healed from whatever it is that they're going through. And the whole reason for the devil to snatch away is that they should not be saved and should not believe in God's word. The first group of people is comprised of people that hear God's word, they hear the preaching and teaching, but do not respond to it because their hearts are hardened to God's word. Their hearts are hardened to the good news. Their hearts are hardened to the kingdom of God. God came, Jesus came and preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And instead of accepting that and trusting in that, they refuse to be healed from what it is that God was trying to deliver them from. So therefore, these people are stuck in their sins. And I don't know if some of you are at this point or at this place in your life where you're at the point where you allow the enemy to come and take that which God has sown into your heart, where day after day and Sunday after Sunday, we come and hear God's word, and instead we instead of listening to God's small still voice, we listen to the voice of the enemy, and fall into his tactics and his ways, and allowing us not to to receive and accept what God is, what God has for us. Luke 8:13 talks about the rocky ground, and he says, "But those are, but those ones on the rock are those who, when they hear it, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Who's before believe for a while, and in a time of temptation they fall away." We see just like the those who fell on the wayside, these people also heard the word. And they receive it. We see the second thing, they receive it with gladness. They receive it with joy. These are those who receive the word with gladness, and probably are those who we hear that are agreeing and probably amen or hallelujah to the words of the pastor or the preacher. And again, they allow God's word to be removed from them. And fall in the times of temptation. And one of the reasons why many people are here is because they have no root. They have no root to draw from the living water. Here it is that Jesus is our living water. He is our source. He is our only source of hope when it's all said and done. And instead of drawing and allowing God to fill us, instead we seek other things. And other pleasures of this world to fulfill our needs. And the third thing we see with this soil on rocky ground is that they have no root. Again, as the Bible says, they believe for a while, but in a time of temptation, they fall away. These are those who probably are excited about Jesus. They're excited about what God is doing in their life. After hearing God's word, probably even say things such as, "Oh, the pastor really spoke to me today, and God really used the pastor to speak to me." But really, in those situations when temptations arise, when they're faced, their faith is tempted, they fall away. And Luke 8:14 talks about the thorny ground, and it says that now the seed that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures, and bring no fruit to maturity. We see that they hear the words, they go out, and they allow the cares and the pleasures of this world to choke them from continuing to walk in the ways of God. And I think there are many people at this particular point in their life because of the cares, the pleasures, and the riches of this world. I don't say this boastfully. I don't say this. But I wouldn't have a part of the reason why I have a job is because families have chosen to seek those things of this world and neglect the things that really matter the most. And I was, conflicted for so long because I realized that I'm in the position that I am is because people have chosen to seek the cares of this world. And they neglected their children. So now I'm put in the position to, if you will, sort of bring reconciliation to these families. But that's one of the things that happens when we continue to seek these things of this world, the things that we think that matters more than in God. We fall and we neglect all the other things that matters the most. So we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 3, what Brother Kevin read, is that, that people have become lovers of themselves instead of lovers of God. They become sort of, they put on this facade or this mask that that they're Christian, but really they're not. They're cheerful. Honestly, they look like they're walking in God's ways, but really we see that their root does not go deep as well either. Luke 8:15 talks about the good ground, and this is indeed a more hopeful ground, and it is indeed hopeful. And it says, but he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who receives the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruit and produces some 100-fold and some 60, some 30. One of the things we see is that those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart are those who have allowed God's word to take root and take effect in their life. The second thing we see is that they not only just hear God's word and are joyous or rejoice when they hear it, but they keep it and they understand it. They seek understanding. They seek wisdom in those times. And these are those who have allowed God's word to really take control of their life, to take root. And the result of that is they bear much fruit. And one of the things that I love about Luke is Luke points out that they bear fruit with patience. It's as if you have a gardener who plants and sow seed, but the one who is on good ground, with patience, they allow the harvest to come. And they're not those who are impatient with God. One of the scriptures tells us that God is not slow, as some consider slowness, but he is patient and not wishing that any shall perish. And one of the things that we must know and take consider is that God is even patient with us, even in our times when we fall, even in our times when we make mistakes. His desire is that we should come to him. His desire is that we should have life and have it more abundantly. So oftentimes there's a misconception is that God doesn't want Christians to be happy or have fun or enjoy life. Yes, he wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have fun at the same time. But it's when those things take place of God in our life. So how we go about living, it's much, much, much important. One of the things Luke 11:28 says is, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. These are Jesus' words. And Luke 5:1 says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear God's word, that he stood at the lake of Gennesaret. One of the things I appreciate and love is even the multitude that are drawing to Jesus, even in Luke 8, we see that they're coming to hear God's word. They're coming to receive what it is that God has for them. So they're coming with a heart that is open, a heart that is receptive to what it is that God is doing. I wonder if when we come to church, are we coming with a receptive heart? We're coming with a heart that is willing to receive whatever it is that God has for us on that particular. At that particular point in our life. Are we not coming and saying, hey, okay, I know these stories already, I know this word before, so this is the, I'm coming and I'm receiving and I'm expecting, and or sort of I'm coming with an expectation of God to reveal himself even more in my life so that my faith may continue to deepen more in God. One of the ways I want to end this morning is with the challenge. And that challenge simply is when you think about your faith and you think about your faith in Christ, what is your faith rooted in? Is your faith rooted in God's word? Is it rooted that you're trusting that God is that Jesus is the Son of the living God? And again, regardless of where you find yourself today, I pray that you would know that God has the power to break up every ground. So regardless if it's the wayside, God has the power to break up that ground. Regardless if you come with a heart of stone or a rocky heart, that God has the power to even remove those stones in your heart. And regardless if you come with a heart of full with thorns, that God has the power to uproot those thorns in your life. And simply is because he wants you to live unto him. He wants his desire is that you may be rooted in him and live a life for him. And the closing question would be, would you allow God to take root in your life? Would you allow God to change, whether it's that heart of stone to a heart of flesh? Will you allow God to have his way in your life? You might be one who has a heart of thorns. Would you allow God to uproot those things in your life that are not pleasing to him? You may have a good heart. You may have a heart that is willing and continues to serve God, but would you allow God to cause you to go deeper and to fall deeper in love with him? Would you allow him to change your life for the upbuilding of his kingdom? And God desires to use you just like he used these women to minister to his kingdom and to minister to his church here on earth. So as we take communion, I just pray that we would be reminded of who God is and all that God has done for us. Ms. Charlene, would you and Brother Daddy come play deeper? If you will, would you come?